The psalmist says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Let's do that as we sing our first hymn, number 13. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can come into your presence this morning. What a way has been opened up for us into your presence. We thank you that when Jesus died upon the cross, when he cried, "It is finished," how we are told that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And it used to be that just behind that veil, there's only one man knew what it was like behind that veil, and that was the high priest of Israel. And even then, he could only enter once a year on the Day of Atonement. And what a shock it must have been for the officiating priests in the temple when an unseen hand ripped that curtain from top to bottom and just fell apart. And then they would have seen behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, where God met with his high priest. And thank you for the significance of that, that now all may come. We thank you for the New Testament church is the priesthood of all believers, and we can come and offer up our sacrifices to you. And we thank you and praise you, O God, for the great changes in this world's history that was brought about by the Lord Jesus having come into the world. In a few weeks' time, we will be thinking of his death and his resurrection. And we thank you for the access that we have unto the Father by him. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again of coming to your house. And we pray that you will bless us this morning. From one Sunday to the next, what changes there are. What sudden deaths we have heard about this week. And those who are young, those from a human point of view with their whole career and many years ahead of them. And oh God, there's been funerals already. Funerals planned this incoming week. And oh God, these things come home to us. Our lives are frail. And there's only a thread, as it were, of linkage between us and eternity. How life's thread could break at any moment. How Jeremiah talks about the thread of your life. And oh God, there's not much strength in a thread. It's not the string of our life or the cable or the rope, but a thread. And oh God, we pray that we will see the urgency in being right with God before that thread snaps. And so we just look to you and pray that you'll bless your word each time we hear it. May we apply our hearts to it. And bless all in our service this morning and those listening in via the internet. We pray that you'll bless all this morning. And so, God, be with us now, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name, these things. Amen. My friends, we're very glad to welcome to your morning service our good friend, Pastor Billy Kennedy, and his wife Brenda. And for this past number of years, Billy has always come the first Sunday morning of March. It's now 14 years ago, past in February, that we had a mission here with Billy. Mission 99, as it was called, 1999, February, 14 years ago. And people were saved at that mission, and they're here this morning. And we thank God for those times. And of course, Billy accompanies our good friend G.S. Nair from India. And G.S. will be back with us in June, God willing. So we give them, as usual, a very warm welcome to church this morning. I'm just going to read the verses that Billy's going to speak on from Mark chapter 4, from verse 35, and then into chapter 5 and verse 1. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Amen. May the Lord bless his word this morning. We're going to sing again, number 50. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Verse 2 says, be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Welcome to you all this morning to church. And may the Lord bless us all as we meet together. And do seek to come out as often as you can to hear God's word and to worship him and to have friendship and fellowship with each other. Our time of prayer, 6:10 before our evening service. And God willing, I will bring the word at 6:30. On Tuesday night is the prayer meeting and Bible study, and again a very important meeting in the life of any church, the time of prayer on Tuesday night at 8:00. Wednesday, 11:00 in the morning, the first Wednesday of the month, the ladies' good company meeting, and Kathleen Lindsay and Diane Reynolds, two of her own, will be along to share in that good company with crafts and devotional. And at 6:30 will be the kids club. Friday night at 8:00 will be the deacons meeting. Then next Sunday, 10:15, the Sunday school and Bible class, and then both are services conducted by myself. Time of prayer at 6:10. So these are all the announcements, and of course they're all subject to God's will. Let's bring him then our offerings. Thank you. Now, believers will meet around the Lord's table after this morning's service to remember him. I have to announce the death this morning of Mrs. Betty Logan. Betty died last Monday night in Prospect Nursing Home, and her funeral was in the church here on Friday. Betty was a very faithful member of the church here. There's been some sad tragedies this week, and we just want to remember the families. There's a Baptist pastor and his young son of 17 years of age committed suicide during the week, and that funeral was yesterday in County Tyrone. And of course the young girl Laura Minford, who was killed in a car accident heading to her teaching post at a primary school on Friday morning there, just out by Port Lanoan. And so we want to remember these families before the Lord this morning. It must be very, very tough indeed for them. So let's just pray. And Heavenly Father, we just spend this time just thinking of others, just interceding for others who are in great need at the present time. And as I said earlier on, what changes there are from one Sunday to another. And even Andy Cardy, when he was here last Sunday night, read the story of Mary's visit by Gabriel, and how he just opened up other marks by saying, Mary got up one morning and it was just another day, but it was going to be a life-changing day. And how he talked about the life-changing day in his own experience when his own 9-year-old daughter was abducted, went missing for a few weeks, and then found murdered. A life-changing day. Their families have had life-changing days this past week, like the two families that we've just mentioned, the Coopers and the Minfords. And there's been others as well, and we just pray that you will draw near onto these ones today. And in the coming days, one funeral past, one is yet to be, and we just leave them in your hands, Lord, and pray that you'll minister into these homes and into the hearts of these homes. Remember those of our congregation who are unwell at the present time. We pray that you will draw near unto them and bless them today. And in their illness, Lord, may they find that it is a means of drawing them closer to yourself. Experiencing a severe storm in their life, and may they find peace in the midst of that storm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for every remembrance of Betty Logan. Thank you for her quiet Christian testimony. Thank you for her faithful attendance at the meetings in the church here. And we just thank you for her. So Lord, bless your work today that goes forth. Thank you for Billy here and the evangelism that he is engaged in. And bless him, we pray. Bless GS and the work in India, as in a few weeks' time will be the college graduation, another year done. It will be the pastor's conference. And we just pray that you will bless, Lord, and bless the speakers and all who are involved in that. May it be a blessed time. Coaching for Christ, the Gideons, CEF, the Dublin Christian Mission, the Faith Mission, the Acree International. Lord, bless all of these works, we do pray. So continue with us now, we ask it in Jesus' name, these things. Amen. Now, just before Billy comes and conducts the rest of the service, number 1141, 1141, a lovely hymn, we haven't sung it for a while. You're the Word of God the Father from before the world began, every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand.
Joy for Brenda and I to be with you again this morning. Thank the minister for his welcome. It's always a thrill just coming back again to Ballymena and seeing those that trusted the Lord those 14 years ago still going on. John says, I have no greater joy than to see, than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Thinking this morning about the storms of life, and no one is exempt from the youngest to the oldest. We all face the storms. I was just thinking of my time in primary school when I wasn't in the gang. I was excluded from the crowd. It was a storm. I remember as a 10-year-old going for a football trial for under 13s, and they told me I was too small. There was a storm. And then going up into high school and doing my exams and failing. There was a storm. And then getting a wee bit older and meeting this girl. And I was brought up in Lurgan. I had to walk to the end of the other end of the town to meet her. Maybe about a mile and a half in the rain. And standing there for half an hour and then looking at the watch, thinking, oh, for another half an hour, let down a storm, a storm. So even the young are not exempt from the storms. Primary school, secondary school, high school, university, you're not exempt. But it's how you and I manage in the storms. Why do the storms come? Well, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 7 verses 24 to 27 told a parable of two builders. One was wise and one was foolish. The plans were identical. Houses the same size, so on and so forth. But one built on a rock, he dug deep. The other built upon the sand. The storms came. The house on the rock stood firm. The house on the sand disintegrated and fell. Jesus said, so is everyone who hears the word and does it, or hears the word and doesn't do it. And so this morning, you and I have to look at our lives to see whether we are wise or foolish. Storms come to try our foundation, to see what we're building our life upon. James talks about deceiving ourselves, being a hearer of the word and not a doer. Just coming week after week, listening, hearing, but never responding. Coming every week knowing that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, knowing that without him we are lost, knowing that if we haven't got him, we have no hope and we're without God in the world. We know that, but we have never responded. And then sometimes the storms come to test our faith and our fortitude, to see whether we'll keep going, to see what we're made of. In Job, the Lord had said to the devil regarding him, there is none like him in all the earth. And the devil said, but he's only serving you, trusting you, because of how you've blessed him, of how you've enriched and enhanced his life. Take what is his, take his assets, and see what he'll do then. So he lost his flocks and his herds. And then the devil came back again, says, touch his family. Touch his family and then see what he'll do. He lost his 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then he came back again. He said, no, but touch him. Touch him. And so, from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot boils. And even his wife says, do you still keep your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? But Job was able to say in 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, yet will I trust him. I wonder, in the storms of life, have you and I gone under? Solomon reminds us that if we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. We're not the great Christian we thought we were. We're not the strong believer that we give the impression we were. We have gone under. And then sometimes the storms come not to try our foundation or to test our faith or our fortitude, but to turn our feet. The psalmist says, it's good I have been afflicted, for before I was afflicted I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Psalm 119 and verse 67 says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Good that this has happened, because I know in faithfulness you have afflicted me. You see, the Bible reminds us that we should come to Christ through the goodness of the Lord. Because of his blessings, because the benefits he daily loads us with, it should turn us to him. But Paul reminds us that godly sorrow worketh repentance. And here was the psalmist saying, you know, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, you have turned my feet into your way. It's good I have been afflicted. Naomi had gone to Moab with her husband and two sons. The husband, the two sons had died. She had left with Orpha and Ruth. She suddenly realized, the hand of God's against me. Lord, you have brought this affliction upon me to turn my feet. She heard there was bread in Bethlehem, beginning of the barley harvest, commencement of another year. She realized, I'm not going to stay in this condition. I'm going back to the house of bread. Good, I've been afflicted. I wonder how you and I have responded. Trying our foundation, testing our faith, or turning our feet. And it's interesting in this story that the minister read this morning, how we see these categories. One resting on the word. Others being tested and tried. And some on the seas without Christ. It was night. And the Lord Jesus says, right, let's go across to the other side. I wonder, did any of the disciples say, but Lord Jesus, it's dark. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. But I'm sure Jesus assured them. He said, I'll be with you. And I'm taking you across to the other side. And they took him, even as he was, into the boat. Let me ask you this morning, when did you invite him on board your boat, your life? When did you realize your need of him? When in simple faith did you trust him? When did you bow the knee and open your heart? And allow him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords to come in. Tell me, when did you take him on board? They took him even as he was. And here on this journey across in the dark, they were conscious of his presence. And they had his promise. He was taking them over to the other side. Sometimes preachers would give us the impression that when we come to trust Christ, everything in the garden will be rosy. No more problems or difficulties. No longer experiencing any more pressure. The sky will always be blue. There'll be the flower-strewn pathways for us. But this is not true. Jesus says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Says, marvel not if the world hate you. Job reminds us, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. The psalmist assures us, this plea from God, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Jesus, looking at his followers in John 14, says, let not your heart be troubled, be troubled. In Psalm 104 and verse 26, four wee words, there go the ships. There go the ships. Every day, you and I Maybe leave her home. There go the ships. There go the ships. But Solomon reminds us, no man knows what a day brings forth. You and I do not know what we're going to face over the hill and around the corner. There go the ships. There go the ships. But one thing that you and I must be sure of, must be certain of, that the Lord Jesus is with us. And He's taken us across to the other side. He's taken us to glory. He has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. He has told us, I will never let go of your hand. We have this assurance in the book of Hebrews. I and the children whom thou hast given me, He said, presenting us. And you'd assure us, present us faultless before the presence of His glory with great joy. He's taken us to the other side. And how amazing to rest on the fact the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. There go the ships. I hope the Savior's on board. And so here they were, in the dark, going across to the other side. And we don't know how long it was. But the wind got up a wee bit. And the waves began to rise. And then they began to lap over the side. Until eventually the boat was nearly swamped. This storm, so sudden, so unexpected, ill-prepared and unprepared for it, happened to you. Minister was reminding us just of sudden deaths. Has it happened to you? Go for a routine check to the doctors. Get the word about the big sea. So suddenly, so unexpectedly. Go into work. Met with the news that terminated, finished, business collapse, marriage breakup, unexpected, so sudden, the waves pounding in and you feel as if you're going to go under. And I'm sure the disciples were asking, where's the Lord Jesus? Where is He? In the midst of our difficulties, where is He? In the midst of our dilemma, where is He? I wonder, like the disciples, do you ever reach that spot? Or come to that conclusion? Does He not care about me? Is He not interested in me? Does He not know what I'm facing, what I'm going through? Of course He does. He knows your frame. He remembers your dust. You and I are reminded He doesn't test us above that which we are able. And He is faithful and He will with the testing make a way of escape. He knows how broad your shoulders are. He knows how heavy to make that load. He knows how strong your heart is. He knows how high to make the hill. He knows how strong your shoes are. He knows how rough to make the road. And He promises that he not test you above that which you are able. No matter how difficult it might be, it might seem, no matter how hard it might appear, that's his promise. And he cannot fail, for he is God, he is God. But the agonizing thing for the disciples were the Lord Jesus was asleep at the stern, asleep on the pillow. So comfortable was he, they felt no concern for us. Sleeping, not seeing our predicament. Master, teacher, they go and wait. Why was Jesus sleeping? Well, Jesus knew that he was heading for Calvary. He knew that his was going to be no watery grave. He knew that he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He knew eventually he would give his life a ransom for many. He would shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of sins. For it was the blood that maketh atonement for sin. For sin, he knew that. He knew his destination was on a hill outside of Jerusalem. He knew that. So he was resting on Father's word, just rejoicing in Father's will, knowing eventually he had to fulfill Father's work. He was asleep, asleep. He was just like the wise man he spoke about. He was resting on the word. Remember Peter in Acts 12, how that James had lost his life. Peter was in the condemned cell. His turn was coming tomorrow. And that night he was sleeping like a baby. Peter, why can you sleep? Why are you not unruffled or perturbed or disturbed? Why are you not tossing and turning when you're facing death tomorrow? He said, why? The Lord Jesus told me that when I would be old, someone would take me and lead me and guide me. And I'm not old yet. I'm not concerned about what Herod said. I'm resting on the word of the Lord Jesus. That's why I can sleep. Remember how the angel came and touched him. Said, Peter, take your time, put your shoes on, put your shoes on. Now that the door swung open. Do you know the amazing thing? Peter could get out of jail, he couldn't get into the prayer meeting. The door was shut. Rhoda comes to the door, said, it's Peter. Said, it couldn't be, he's in the jail, they were praying for him. You and I are praying, keep the door open, beloved, keep the door open. Jesus was asleep. Just like the wise man. Resting on Father's word. You and I can be the same. Resting on his promise. Being able to sleep through the storm, through the storm. This great storm and this great shout, Master, carest thou not? Listen, beloved. He couldn't care for us any more than by going to the cross to die for us. One thing is sure, he never cared for you any less. He loves you with an everlasting love. A love unchanging, unfailing, and a love unending, unending. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he got up and he rebuked the wind. Why did he just rebuke the wind and spoke to the sea? Well, Jeremiah, he reminds us in chapter 10 and verse 13, he bringeth the wind out of his treasures. He bringeth the wind out of his treasures. So here was the enemy of our souls going to take the wind and use it, seeking to destroy him, seeking to overcome him, and he got up and he rebuked it. He rebuked it. Sometimes the Lord has got to come and rebuke you and rebuke me, because sometimes we do the devil's work. His task is to sow discord, to disrupt, to divide. Sometimes we do his work. Go about as a talebearer, as a busybody in other people's affairs. We do the devil's work. He's got to rebuke us. He said, peace. Peace be still. There was a great calm. Was this gracious rebuke to his followers? Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you had no faith? Gentle reminder of his word. Sure, I told you. Chapter 5 and verse 1, he brought them over. In spite of their fears, their doubts, their unbelief, he brought them over. It wasn't depending on their faith, it was depending on what he said. There's something else. You and I were reminded there were other little boats or other little ships with no Lord Jesus on board, facing the same wind and the same waves, going through the same storm, having not the Savior on board. Not a picture of you this morning. There go the ships. No Lord Jesus as captain. No Lord Jesus on board. No Lord Jesus leading and guiding and directing. There go the ships. To face the uncertainty of life. There go the ships. Not knowing what's going to befall, what you're going to have to face. There go the ships. But how marvelous when we have the Savior on board. How sad when so often so many are like Israel according to Haggai. When the Lord said in chapter 2, I smote you with blasting and with mildew. Chapter 1, he says, I blew upon all that you had. You sowed much and brought in little. You had money with bags with holes in it. Yet you turned not unto me. You turned not unto me. Wonder is the Lord saying that to you this morning. Look at what you've been through. The heartache and the heartbreak, the upsets and the setbacks. It hasn't rained, but it has poured upon you. The Lord in mercy is crying out to you and calling to you. Yet, you have turned not unto him. How much more has he got to do? How much more? In order that you might come to know his presence and to know his peace. Are you in the storm this morning? I hope you're resting on his presence. Paul prayed for the church at Thessalonica, chapter in 2nd Epistle 3 and 16. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you. Thank God we have peace through the blood. Thank God we have peace through the book. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Peace through our own belief. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead upon thee, because his soul trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. And peace through his bequest. Peace. I leave with you. Peace. I give unto you. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Precious Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, help me stand. Till the storm passes over. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know. Do you know? Tell me. What boat are you in this morning? Are you in the boat with the Savior? Or are you one of these other little boats without him? But oh, the blessing, as the minister was praying, because Jesus was on the sea that day, these other little boats experienced the blessing. I wonder, did they ask, why this sudden change? Why such peace? I hope you've got the Savior on board. I started off the ministry in Liverpool, and it was Grand National Day. And the insurance man came. He was talking about the race. I said, oh, I'm on the winner. Oh, he said, who is it? Who'll it be? I said, you see, the Grand National is like life. You go on the flat for a wee bit and then there's a hurdle. And then sometimes the jumps get a wee bit higher. And a wee bit more difficult. And then you come to the big one, Beecher's Brook. I said, you see, that's like life. But Beecher's is like death. And I said, you know something? I've never seen a horse winning the Grand National on its own. Neither have I seen a jockey winning the Grand National on his own. It took them both. And if you're facing Beecher's, you can't face it on your own. If you're facing death on your own, Jesus says to you, where I am, there you'll never be. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We sing a wee chorus. Sometimes it's easier sung than done. With Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm while I go sailing home. Oh, beloved, make sure while the storms come, to try our foundation, to see like the Savior, whether we can sleep in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the difficulties, resting on Father's word. Comes to test our faith and our fortitude. The disciples, he had to gently rebuke them for their no faith. But like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Sometimes to turn our feet. It's good I have been afflicted. For before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, my feet have been turned into your way. I hope this morning that's your experience. That today your feet will be turned into the way of righteousness and the paths of peace. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your tremendous love for us. And Father, we know that life can be full of ups and downs. Good days and difficult days. Bright days and black days. But you have promised us our day, so shall our strength be. And Father, the minister already has been praying for families in the midst of the storm. Maybe, Lord, there are those bowed in your presence now, unknowns to us, but known to you, who are just in the eye of the storm as well. Some have come through the storms, Lord, and we give thee thanks for bringing them through. Some have proved the sufficiency of your grace in the midst of adversity, and we praise you, Lord, that you have brought them through. Maybe some are about to face the storm. We pray that you'll prepare them for it. But above everything else, Lord, may nobody leave your house this morning one of these other little ships, not having you on board. And Father, as we leave this morning, again, this message rings clear. There go the ships into unknown territory, chartering unknown waters. But we pray that all of us will be conscious of your presence. And should there be those who haven't been to the cross yet, having come to realize why you died, Lord Jesus, why you shed your precious blood for them, why you died and why you rose again for them, that today they might realize that, and reverently speaking, take you on board. For their good and your glory we do ask it. Amen. The hymn 311, I think, In Heavenly Love Abiding. 331.
Thank you.
has the Lord spoken to you this morning? Maybe you realize this morning you're one of these other little ships facing the storm alone. Could we help you this morning to trust the Savior? Do you have a word with the minister or myself? Only too pleased to speak with you. Bless your word to all our hearts and glorify your lovely name. Bless those who must leave. Remember all who remain around the table to remember you, Lord Jesus, that your blessing might rest upon us all. Part us in thy fear and always in your blessing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.